Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your humble host, John Orlando, the man that brings you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Columbus, Ohio. I hope you're doing well out there, listeners. I am very excited to bring you episode 113, but I'm going to delay telling you about my guest for just a few moments because I'd like to talk about a couple of other things that are on the top of my head right now. First off, I want to say that I had an absolute blast this weekend. I went to New Ohio Wrestling, attended the event now for, and well, attended wouldn't be the correct verb. I actually participated. Myself and rugby thug Trent Baker called the action for that event for a DVD release, and it was fun. I really had a good time doing it, and actually, I knew I was going to be doing it. I don't know why I didn't really mention that. It wasn't like I was trying to keep it a secret or kayfabe anybody. I don't know. I guess I just didn't want to make a big deal out of it, I guess. But it was great to see all the guys, Jock Sampson, Juice Jennings, Jimmy Shane, all of my friends. It was good to see them. It was really cool for Shank Dorsey and for Rugby Thug to put their trust in me to do the play-by-play commentary, which is something that I have not done in my career. Back in April, I sat down with Thug and a gentleman named Viper and did commentary track for another DVD release for NOW. But that's the first time I'd done it, so I really take that position very seriously. I wanted to do a very good job, and from a few of the snippets that I've heard, I think that Rugby Thug and I did a very good job. There's a couple of clips from Mr. Marion Fontaine and Mr. Jock Sampson floating out there on the internet. Very small clips of their match. They had a very good match and a very entertaining match. And you know when you get Marion Fontaine in the ring, you're going to get something a little bit unusual. And indeed, something happened in that match that is quite unusual. I dare say I don't think it's ever been done before in professional wrestling. And I'm not sure it ever will be done ever again in professional wrestling. But I digress. It was a great time, and I'm looking forward to hearing how that show turned out in its entirety, just not the few snippets I've heard. So, another thing that I wanted to really talk about, as you know, I'm a huge hockey fan, and, you know, we're getting closer. There's 28 games left in the season before the playoffs begin, and that's my favorite time of the year. Like, it gets so much more intense when the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs come around, but in the news, it just so happened that this week, Michel Therrien was fired as the coach of the Montreal Canadiens and replaced by Claude Julien, who had been fired just about 48 hours prior to that by the Boston Bruins. This is just the most bizarre thing that I could ever imagine, because the Montreal Canadiens are on the top of the Atlantic Division, probably one of the weakest divisions in the NHL, by the way, and they're sitting atop, they're going to make the playoffs. Sure, they're like 1-3-1 in the month of February, but for crying out loud, is there no loyalty anymore in professional sports? I mean, you don't give Therrien an opportunity to try to continue to get the team ready to go for the playoffs, even if they are 1-4-1 or whatever their terrible record is for February. The month is still only half over. I don't know. I gotta question what the front office is thinking on this one, and I'm wondering if maybe the front office isn't the one that needs to be cleaned out. But, well, we'll see what happens with the drama in Montreal. But you know what? Let's talk about this podcast. Let's not talk about Montreal. Let's not talk about hockey anymore. Let's talk about wrestling again. And my guest on this episode, number 113 of the PVD cast, is Mr. Sherman Tank. And Tank and I go way, way back throughout his time in Ohio Championship Wrestling when I was there, and even a little bit before that. We had a few encounters in FIW. And, man, episode 19 was the last time he was on. And so we recap a little bit, but then we talk about some of the things that he's got going on. Spinebuster University, he is going to call it quits for a while. And we talk about all that stuff. So if you want to hear a really thorough dissection of Tank's involvement in professional wrestling from his early years, then go back over to the archive section and listen to episode 19, and you'll hear all about that. So before I throw it to my conversation with Sherman Tank, I just want to let you know real quickly that Stephen Hines has written an amazing memoir chronicling his journey through various different organized religions. And this journey was paved with many hilarious adventures, which are found within the pages of his book, Rebirth Defect. It's definitely a humorous read for anyone that's curious about religion. Well, you know what? Maybe you won't have to read it, because Stephen is working on getting his memoir on tape so that you can listen to it. So keep up with all the information, including how to get your hands on this memoir and the status of the book-to-tape project, by simply going to stephenhines.org. That's stephenhines.org. And you can keep up to date with all that's going on with that great project. So wanted to throw that out there, give a little love to Stephen Hines. And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back with Mr. Sherman Tank. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sitting down here with a man that I've known for a very long time, and a man that hasn't been on this podcast in a very long time, Sherman Tank. Tank, how you doing, man?
Not too bad, John. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Can't complain. So since it's been a while, let's recap a little bit. Maybe
sure.
For the new listeners out there, how'd you get interested and how'd you get started in this crazy business of professional wrestling?
Unlike most people, I didn't have a training center, but luckily for me, my neighbor was a professional wrestler and owned a ring and his own company and stuff like that. And once I got to a certain age, I was able and fortunate to travel with him and, you know, kind of pay my dues from an early age. And once I reached the age of 17 and 11 months and 24 days, that's when I had my first match. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, you started training with him, like, when you were, what, 15? Or that?
Yeah.
You started hanging around
like,
him in that? I don't mean train officially, like,
no,
you know, you're in the
like,
ring, but...
No, I mean, we did get in the ring a little bit, but, like, you know, like, I started traveling with him when I was, like, 11, 12... 10, somewhere like, you know, before I was a teenager, but I was yet, you know, still old enough that, you know, my parents trusted me to go with him or trusted him to take me. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, I begged and pleaded with him to like getting in the ring. No. Like, you know, he deterred me even after doing it for a couple of years. I'd go over and see him and stuff. And, you know, him and his wife would both be like, you need to quit that, get out of that. And that was 15 years ago, so.
Well, at one point, did he just say, okay, screw it, this kid's not going to listen to me, and just took you under his wing, or?
I mean, you know, like, he got me in the ring a little bit, I mean, and not just Chief, but, I mean, you know, you had Green Hornet, you had, you know, Jimmy Lee, Kid Collins, Thunder Morgan, they all kind of took me under their wing and kind of, you know, pulled back the curtain, if you will, and, you know, let me kind of, you know, get in the ring with them or, you know, watch them train. And, you know, it was a constant learning experience every time we went out,
mm-hmm.
You know, trying to, you know, see what the brotherhood was really about. And, you know, it was a lot different than it is now. So, you know, it was fun. You know, it was, you know, I was like a kid in the candy store. Basically.
Well, yeah. Ken, let me ask you, since we already are just on this, would you let your kids train?
You know, just like him, I say no. You know, I'd rather them do something less stressful or, you know, physically less demanding or,
yeah,
you know, like pro football or something. Go do that. I mean, but or something that even more lucrative or something. But, you know, because I'm definitely not financially where I thought I'd be, especially if I was wrestling for 20 years, thinking, you know, I thought I'd be a millionaire by the time I was, you know, 15 years in. I was like, I'll be one and done. So, but no, yeah, we have the training center now up here in Akron. So, you know, I'll go over and, you know, have to do like some sort of odd and end type job or something, like clean up something or straighten up something or some paperwork or something. And they'll come with me. My three boys will come with me, and you know, they'll jump in the ring and, you know, bounce around a little bit and get out the mats and, you know, jump all over them and jump off the ropes. And my 12-year-old was actually doing moonsaults off the second rope, and about scared the yard of shit out of me. So
he was landing on the crash pad, right?
Yeah.
But still, man, that's a little dangerous, a little hinky there, possibly.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's been working on that like for a while, and if you would see him, you'd be like, "Are you sure that's your kid?" Because I mean, he's really tall. He's almost as tall as I am now, and he's only 12. And you know, he's really tall and lanky, and I mean, he's still, you know, a muscular kid, but he's just, you know, he doesn't have that tank build, so so. But I mean, he's athletic in his own way, and you know, he's been working on moonsaults and backflips on the trampoline. So he's like, "Let me do it in the ring," and don't tell your mother. So
it's possible you might give the green light to your sons.
Who knows? Happens?
All right.
Five, ten years or something. But
now, obviously, your sons are fans as well.
Yeah, they'll come to shows.
Okay.
Mostly local shows or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But
are they fans of WWE?
Yeah. We just took them to Raw had a house show in Canton where we live, and we went over there and hung out a little bit, and then, you know, as Christmas presents, my brother got Raw tickets for him, and we all went up as my brother and his son, and me and my two oldest took them out to Raw, the actual, you know, TV event, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was their first time, you know, seeing like all the lights and the pyro and stuff like that. So it was an experience for sure.
How did they like it? How did they like it?
It was a long night because obviously it was a late night on the Sunday at the house show in Canton, and you know, then they're at school all morning and afternoon, and then literally as soon as they got off the bus, like, we hijacked all the way up to, you know, pick up my brother's son, and then headed to Cleveland. So I mean, it was a long day, but I mean, they loved it. You know, it was just, they were in awe of the whole experience. So
who do the young kids like? I sound like an old man. Who do these young kids like now in the WWE? You know,
these youngins,
yeah, young whippersnappers.
Well, it's kind of funny. Like, my youngest is a John Cena, obviously Kane and Sin Cara fan.
Wait, so, time out. Yeah, did you say a Kane?
I know.
Kane fan?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So a little Glenn Jacobs for you. So, and I think that's because of the Scooby Doo movie.
Oh,
the WrestleMania Scooby-Doo movie, because they're in that.
And,
We went to the Canton show, and he's like, "Is John Cena coming?" I go, "I don't think so. I think he's on SmackDown." "Well, what about Kane?" I go, "I don't know if he's doing house shows." "What about Sin Cara?" And I go, "I don't think that's going to happen, buddy. I don't know if, you know." And then, I shit you not, like, 20 minutes later, Sin Cara comes out of the curtain. I was like, "All right, there you go.
There you go.
You get one of the three." My other sons, I'm trying to think. A little Dean Ambrose, a little Miz, a little. I think it's maybe like the Ohio connection.
Okay.
They're kind of digging.
Okay.
So,
all right.
And then, you know, obviously, like, I have, like, my nephews. My brother swears he's my kid. And I was like, "I don't even know the mother. Like, I don't know her. I don't like her. Whatever." But he's a huge Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns fan. So
all right. Do your sons? Which I think, you know, I don't know. Were they around when you had a series of matches with Dean Ambrose back in OCW? Were they coming to the shows then or not?
We had the oldest two.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't have been down there.
Okay.
They wouldn't have done the Zanesville move.
Okay.
So.
But they're aware that dad wrestled Dean Ambrose a couple of times, are they?
They're tired of me bringing it up. I mean, it's kind of cool because, like, you know, like, I've, you know,
sure,
either shared a locker room with some of these guys,
yeah,
or wrestled some of these guys and,
yeah,
stuff. And, you know, it's like this guy would come out and I go, hey, I wrestled that guy.
Yeah.
Did you win? Well, yeah, that guy, but not that guy, or you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you got Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows out, and you know, and it was kind of funny because we were kind of hanging out the Saturday before the Canton show, and we get to the Canton show, and I was telling them, like, you know, hey, I was hanging out with those guys last night, and like, no way. I was like, yeah, and I wrestled that guy. Did you win? No, I didn't win that one. He kicked me in the head, and he goes, well, I don't like him, so all right.
Well, who were some of the faves that you had as a kid? Because we've talked, you were a big wrestling fan as a kid, so who were some of your favorites that you liked watching?
I mean, obviously everyone loved, you know, or most people loved, like, the Hogan, the Warriors, and stuff like that, and those, you know, very polarizing people that people were drawn to. But I was a huge, NWA, you know, the Crockett promotion, mm-hmm. you know, and so, you know, obviously the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express, even the Fantastics, Barry Windham, Arn Anderson, you know, that whole core group. I mean, that was just amazing. You know, the way that the fans just reacted. And then, you know, it kind of, if we could kind of bridge those two stories, you know, OCW brought in Ricky Morton for a Newark show,
mm-hmm.
In the spring of, I don't know.
I want to say 2014? No. I think it was later than that. I think maybe 2010?
Yeah, it was somewhere around there, because my oldest came to meet with me to the event, because we went to the spring game before that, the Ohio State spring game,
mm-hmm.
and it was the funniest thing, because I've always missed Ricky. Like, I would be at an event, and he'd be at the next event, and I wasn't booked, or he was at the event previous, and I was booked on the next event, you know? We'd always just keep missing and stuff, and finally, I was fortunate enough, or we all were, because, I mean, he's such a good guy, and he's such a good talent, that Jeff brought him in, and I was really nervous about meeting him, because you always hear those stories about when you meet your idols, you always get let down.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really cool. Like, I mean, we connected as soon as I stepped out of my car, because he was like, as soon as I stepped out of the car, he's like, Scott, like, he was thinking I was like Bam Bam Bigelow, you know, because that was like when I first started shaving my head and stuff, and you know, I'm across the parking lot and stuff, and I see him outside talking to some people, and you know, we just kind of like were drawn to each other. I was like, oh, please don't be a douchebag. Please don't be a douchebag. And he wasn't. I mean, he was really cool, you know, the entire day with me and my son, and, you know, coming up to me and joking, and, you know, and he seemed, I don't want to say flattered, but, you know, maybe
humble. I'd say he was very humble. I, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and just down to earth, too.
Yeah. I mean, because I told him the story, like, how I would dress up, and the first time I ever saw him and Robert wrestle at Municipal Stadium up in Cleveland after the Indians game during the Great American Bash Tour of 87. He goes, you remember that? And I go, dude, I dressed up like you. Not just for the show, but I was like that for the entire game. Like, bandanas on my legs and around my wrist, and people were just looking at me because I was, like, walking around with sweatpants on, like, tight sweatpants. You know, like, I didn't have, you know, spandex or lycra back then, so, you know, so people are like, what is up with this kid? So.
It's all right, we've all done it. We've all done it. It's A-okay.
God bless us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about Spinebuster University,
sure.
The training school. Why did you decide to open a training school?
I'm kind of coming on my 22nd year of the business and stuff, and it's just kind of I don't have much left not so much to prove anything, or you know, I've always kind of given back to people, and I thought this would just be another avenue to kind of give back and still be involved in the business, and a couple people kind of prodded me and talked me into it, and away we go. So
all right, we're going to deviate from that. I'm going to come back to Spinebuster U.
Sure.
But let's talk for a minute. You have stated, I believe, I don't know, on Twitter, maybe on Facebook. April 22nd is your last match. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, you never say never in the business, but just with some stuff I have going on personally and health-wise, you know, just it seems like a good transition period to just kind of, you know, just I got a couple shows coming up here, you know, the next month or two, and it's, I'll be able to kind of, you know, have my going out party, I guess, to a, with a couple of promotions that I've been with for a while. And, you know, if things kind of turn around, hopefully I can come back. It's nothing pressing that, you know, like I'm not dying or anything, but.
Let's be honest, you have been nicked up quite a bit, I think, in the last couple of years. I think you've been very honest about that, that you've had some issues, you know, with, I believe, elbow, correct? And knee?
Shoulder. You know, I had, had the reconstructive surgery on my shoulder.
Right.
And my knees are really bad right now. My hips are really bad. I'm having some nerve issues in my back. And I've kind of pushed through it. You know, and I'm not trying to be like a, you know, I'm a tough guy or anything like that, or not trying to put myself over, but, you know, I've not been as vocal as what I used to be, you know, about that type of stuff. But, you know, it needs to be addressed.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, I've not really taken a lot of really good care of myself. I've been, you know, I kind of give, and I don't take care of myself. So I think this is going to be an opportunity to, you know, kind of, pardon the pun, like kind of shit or get off the pot, you know, kind of, you know, get myself healthy again. You know, I still love it. I still, you know, I don't really crave the attention like some people where I was like, oh, if I don't hear my name being called, like, you know, it's nothing like that. Just, you know, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
You know, right. I'm having fun again. Everywhere I'm wrestling.
And,
so, and that's what I
you're still going to be involved too. You got the Spinebuster University, bringing it back to the original question there. You have a pretty good class right now from what I understand.
Yeah. I mean, we have some pretty hungry kids. I mean, these guys are very surprising me in a really good way. You know, cuz I've been around quite a few training classes, you know, kind of, you know, pitching in whenever needed with, you know, Big Guns Wrestling Academy with Jeff, back when he was running his, and you know, you see the great, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, everywhere you go, and, you know, so we decided to do the Spinebuster U, and, we had a, you know, we had 9 individuals try out. We took 8 of them. There was just one that just, he wasn't bad, but he was going to be a pet project. And skip with this being a the first class, we just said, you know, this isn't a no, it's just a no for now.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe he comes back out and tries out for this next class and, you know, kind of, maybe work on a few things. But again, you know, when you do a tryout, you don't expect, you know, someone being perfect or flawless or anything by any stretch of imagination. Just this other 8 was, you know, all around better.
What do you look for when somebody comes out for a tryout? Is there a specific thing or specific things, or you just kind of play it by each individual?
You play by each individual, but at the same time, you know, there's got to be a certain level of athleticism. My big thing is coachability, being able to take instruction and be able to process that information with very little, you know,
like
downtime.
Yeah, right, like, right. Yeah.
You know, if I tell you how to do something, or if I show you how to do something, it doesn't have to be perfect, but you have to be able to process that information. You know, and
let's be honest, for the most, not have an attitude about it either.
Absolutely. Cause that's a killer. You know, you know, be able to, you know, show respect, you know, and be sincere about it. You know, given the time I've kind of been in, you know, and the people I've interacted with, I've kind of be able to kind of see through the BS, mm-hmm. so to speak. You know, like we were saying, like this, you know, we're down, we started with 8, then we went down to 6, and then we had a couple injuries and a couple other issues that, you know, that we couldn't get past, and now we're down to 3, and then we added another individual that relocated from Texas, and he kind of joined the class, and I mean, these, you know, 4 are, you know, they can look like wrestlers, they can cut, they can speak, they can, you know, they can actually wrestle. You know, being 2-3 months in, you know, they're further along than what, you know, most, you know, trainees that are 2 or 3 months in are at the current time. So, yeah. You know, I'm impressed with them.
That's good.
People that have come, you know, to the training class to kind of see, you know, their progress and whatnot have been impressed as well. So, mm-hmm.
And you said that you were going to have another training class starting here soon.
Yeah, it's going to be March or April.
Okay.
We haven't really set an exact date, but, you know, we're constantly getting messaged, you know, every day, mm-hmm. you know, via email or Facebook or, you know, my personal account. I'm getting messages relayed from the OCW account of people contacting them as well. And, mm-hmm. But, you know, it's kind of nice to kind of be sought out a little bit.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit about Ohio Championship Wrestling, because you guys have a big event slated for this Saturday, February 18th. It's at
sure.
the OCW Arena, which is 2910 South Main Street in Akron. You have a match with a man that we kind of know from OCW, Mr. Louis Perez. So, talk to me a little bit about this matchup.
Yeah, we have a match concept now. It's called Trial by Combat. Now, this isn't a Trial by Combat match, but it is in a certain way because, I mean, Louis is no stranger to OCW, obviously. You know, he's an accomplished wrestler, you know, everywhere he's gone, but he's trying to get his foothold into OCW. Apparently I've been dubbed like the gatekeeper to OCW now that, you know, Jeff's kind of gone. So,
you say that begrudgingly. I don't think you didn't really want that moniker or
no,
you didn't want that
no,
title.
Not,
it just
no, not really. I guess it's maybe by you get it by default for being like the oldest guy there maybe or something. But, no, I mean, I don't want to be like those, you know, flag bearer, like the standard type. You know, I'm one of the guys.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't strive to be the center of attention. I don't have to be the loudest person in the room. I don't have to, hey, everybody look at me. But, you know, Louis wants to be part of the a regular gig, I guess. And, you know, we'll kind of see what he's got, you know.
Okay.
Hopefully, you know, he's bringing a loaded weapon. So we're going to see what he's got.
Okay, all right. Well, this is one of many matches that is on the card. I don't know if you want to do. Would you like to talk about a couple of the matches here, just real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Because I know that the big main event, of course, for the OCW Ohio Heritage Championship, No Shame Jimmy Shane's going to take on Joey Rogers, a man that many people in OCW know as Joey Vengeance.
Yeah.
So, what's your thoughts on this match?
I mean, what is it, like 7 years in the making?
It is.
Like
it
that?
Is a long time in the making.
You know, I mean, it's kind of funny because, I mean, I remember they came as best friends, like, I believe they're like 15 years old to one of the events in Akron that we had.
Yes.
And sitting front row, and they're like, that's what we want to do. And then a few short years later, they just were like, showing up, and it was like, yeah, we were at that show and, you know, we fell in love with it and that's what we want to do. And it's like, I mean, it's kind of, you know, inspiring,
mm-hmm.
you know, that these two young kids, like, you know, dedicated themselves to the father's dreams, and now you know, once best friends, kind of, I wouldn't even say bitter enemies, or, but I think there's some really hard feelings because of just the way things kind of turned out. Like, you know, Joey moved away and, you know, kind of, you know, finding himself, or, you know, whatever, you know, mission he was on, or, you know, changing the name and, you know, changing his
character, you know, his aura, basically. Yeah. Going through a metamorphosis.
A maturing process. Yeah. I would like to call it, because, you know, and Jimmy's always been Jimmy, you know, whether you like him or not. I mean, you know, he Jimmy does what Jimmy wants to do. And, you know, this will be interesting to kind of see these two guys lock horns for only the second time of two individuals that have been around each other for nearly half their life, you know, but at the same time, you know, their careers have gone two different ways, you know. And I don't mean like good and bad, but I'm like, literally, they separated. Best friends, no longer best friends. That's going to be interesting to see how that pans out.
You also have a ladies' match slated, Miss Hannah versus Laura Loveless. I don't think that these two ladies have ever competed before in OCW.
No. Okay. This is actually the trial by combat match.
Oh, okay.
The previous trial by combat match was between two individuals, Jackson Argos and Chase Ahrens, two very, you know, young and hungry up and comers that, you know, just blew the roof off the arena, literally. I mean, or figuratively, I guess.
Yeah, I was gonna say not if it's literal. If it's literal,
it would go from an arena to a stadium.
Yeah,
though, right?
Exactly.
But those two guys really set a very high a mark for these two ladies to come in, and, you know, and I think, you know, in true fashion, OCW fashion, even, like, you know, I think these two ladies are, you know, hopefully going to step up their game. I know they've kind of been around the scene for a little bit, but as far as, you know, meeting each other, I'm not sure they have, and they definitely have not stepped foot in an OCW ring before, so it'd be interesting. I'm kind of excited. You know, it's been a while since we've had ladies, you know, dating back, man, what, I mean,
a while.
It's been so long. I, you know, and I know the fans are clamoring for a ladies match. You know, Sarah Del Rey was obviously our last women's champion, and how long ago was that?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was a good 6 or 7 years. Yeah.
So.
Well, and then I think the last couple of matches I just would like to highlight, you know, still looking for maybe a little measure of respect. Juice Jennings has got a match against Chase Ahrens. I know Juice is not very pleased that he was kind of quote-unquote snubbed in the main event. So what's your thoughts on Juice Jennings and his newfound attitude that he's had for the last, well, I don't know, say a year or so?
I mean, he's such a great athlete.
Yes.
It's kind of, you know, I mean, he's such a natural in the ring. And I think that goes back down to his amateur wrestling status, or, you know, he's a state, you know, qualifier, you know, in high school. And, I mean, the guy is an all-around, you know, all-American type of an athlete. The attitude, I don't understand the attitude. I know there was issues with Joey, and hopefully that doesn't erupt Saturday, but I know security will be on edge, but, you know, for as long as Juice has been in the business, and OCW in particular, it's going to be, I think he wants his due respect. And I think, you know, you got Chase Ahrens, who won the trial by combat match. You know, the praise that he was receiving, you know, I think Juice was a little ticked off about that. So, it'll pan out one way or the other.
Yep.
You know, Juice is gonna, you know, do what Juice does with, you know, taking the cheap shots and the shortcuts, I'm sure. So, you know, hopefully, maybe, you know, Joey can get into Chase's ear and see what he can do, see what, you know, he can. He can help him along and give him some tips and some pointers.
All right, so that is this Saturday again, February 18th. OCW presents Love Hurts at the OCW Arena. So if you're in the northeastern Ohio area, you need to stop by and check it out. Tank, as we start to wrap up a couple of things here, I know you have a background in football.
Sure.
Did you see the 30 for 30 on the XFL?
No, I haven't. I have missed it. But I was at one of my local hangouts this past weekend, and the manager of the bar was like, you know, was talking about that 30 for 30. He goes, man, you have to watch it. And I go, I've been trying. My DVR is not really working right now. And I missed the XFL, actually. So,
do you know, this is the honest to goodness truth. I talked about this today. I watched, I think, the first game, and that was it. I didn't watch any of the others.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't. I just was not on board with the idea. I don't know why, man. I was like, I don't know.
I liked the concept. The only thing I didn't like was the kickoff. The whole, whatever, this 50 or 60 yard dash.
Oh, yeah, the scramble, you know, they called that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the only part I didn't really like. You know, I liked that it was fresh. I liked that, you know, it wasn't like, you know, things weren't traditional. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a traditional guy. You know, I'm kind of old school wrestling wise, but, you know, when they come out with like these alternative helmets or, you know, the jerseys or the uniforms that are, you know, the special jerseys, you know, like the Buckeye blackout jerseys, stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that stuff because it's, you know, just, it's not something you see with somebody in every day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the XFL kind of brought, was like something edgier, something different. Just didn't pan out.
No.
clearly.
You'll need to catch it. I will say that. It was very fascinating watching it. I think they do paint Vince and Dick Ebersol in a little bit of a better light, maybe, than they could have. But it's just not bad, man. It's definitely a watch. You're going to have to catch that sometime. All right, let's talk a little bit about, since you said that April probably going to be your last match, can you give me a couple of your favorite opponents throughout the years?
Yeah, for sure. Clearly, Big Guns Jeff Cannon is right up there. I mean, one of my favorite matches was the hardcore Falls Count Anywhere match that we had in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
That was like when I was fairly new to OCW.
Yes.
I mean, I loved that match, even though I lost. that was one of my most favorite matches ever.
Yeah.
Matt Mason, even though, you know, we never really hooked up in OCW, we did, you know, wrestle around in other promotions and stuff when we weren't kind of getting along, but he, you know, similar to Juice, you know, Matt Mason was a solid hand in the ring and, you know, would always push you to the limit. Someone who's not ever stepped foot in OCW, but Shank Dorsey, another guy just, you know, would beat the living hell out of you every night that you wrestled him, and you had to give it back to him, or it was going to be a long night for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, those are like, you know, and I've wrestled Joey, and I've wrestled Jimmy, and I've wrestled Juice, and, you know, those are all solid guys, you know. I mean, I, you know, obviously you guys, you know, you got Dean Ambrose and, you know, Doc Gallows and Billy Gunn, and those are always fun too, because mm-hmm. it's a learning experience.
Sure, yeah, you know? Yeah, most definitely.
Some of these guys are your heroes and stuff like that as well, and, you know, I've never been in the ring with somebody as strong as Billy Gunn, because that dude is strong as he is big, so.
Mm-hmm. All right, I like to play a game. We didn't have this game around when you were on episode 19. That's Uh-oh. Right, I said episode 19, people. So go back and listen to that one in the archive section. But I like to play this game. It's called Tag Feud or Job. All right, so let me give you the rules.
Job. All right.
All right, I'm going to give you three wrestlers. And what I would like you to think about is I would like you to think and select the wrestler you'd like to tag with, the wrestler that you would like to feud with, and the wrestler that you would like to job to. Now, we're talking about this is going to be an extended program, and I would also like to mention that these folks would be in their prime In fact, two of them have been dead for a while, so they would be in their prime when you're selecting these individuals. Okay.
So this is job. What is it?
Tag, feud, or job. Who do you want to tag feud. With? Who do you want to feud with? Who do you want a job to?
All right, we got it. Let's go.
All right. I kept it thematic. Since you are a football guy, I picked three wrestlers that had pretty successful careers in professional football. So here we go. Your three choices for tag, feud, or job. Goldberg, Big Cat Ernie Ladd, Chief Wahoo McDaniel.
Ooh. Okay. All right, let's go with Wahoo McDaniels. I will tag with him.
Why that? Why would you tag with him?
Out of respect for the man who broke me into the business, okay. Who is Chief Don Red Cloud, the Native American heritage. If I feuded with him, he'd probably come out from the grave and probably try to scout me.
Okay.
So let's tag with Wahoo.
Okay.
I will job to Ernie Ladd.
Okay.
Big Cat, right?
Yeah, reason for that?
Because he's a legit badass. and the faster I get out of there, the healthier I will stay, I assume.
Okay.
And just for the payday,
yes.
I will feud with Goldberg.
There you go. Nicely done. You know, though, funny, I will say this. I think Wahoo McDaniel is also a badass. I don't know which one of those two between Ladd and McDaniel. I don't know which one's the bigger badass. Because I've heard things about Wahoo.
Don't put me on the spot like that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. No, we're staying with those. Those are your choices. There you go. So,
well, if I'm tagging with them, I don't have to feud with them, so I'm not getting hurt.
There you go. That's a good, smart idea. I like that.
There you go.
Tank, where can people find you on the internet?
Obviously, they can search me on Facebook. Some fans have kind of noticed that I have a new Facebook, and I'm not friends with them, or they're not following me anymore, and that's why, because I was in Facebook jail. Facebook was taken away from me unceremoniously because of my name, and so I had to make a new Facebook deal. But every other social media outlet, you can find me at ShermanTank67. Just search that.
Okay.
At ShermanTank67, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, everything but Tinder, you can find me on. So. I'll leave the Tinder to Jimmy Shane. I'm sure he's on something like that.
I cannot confirm nor deny that, but if I was a gambling man, I'd probably put money down that he is on Tinder. Yeah. But
more power to him, right?
Hey, there's no shame in that. I'm gonna steal his catchphrase. So,
owe him a quarter.
I do. Tank, man, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it, man. It's been fun.
Thanks for having me, man. It's always fun and good to talk to you.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, I saw you a couple days ago at the New Ohio Wrestling Show.
Yes,
and
yes.
And it's always good to catch up. So, exactly. You know, obviously, show day, we don't really get to talk too much. It's kind of chaotic. So,
yeah.
You know, but, yeah, it's always good to talk to you, man.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of that break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. So, please, stick around.
Trivia Geeks, the Unpredictable Game Show podcast is back with a brand new season. They've got a new host, new games, and a new day and time. But that's not all. Now you can download their companion app, TrivNow, and play along in real time. Watch Carrie on YouTube as she tries to convince her partner that his Dark Knight hasn't risen in years. Listen on Diamond Club and Alpha Geek Radio, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can also follow the show on Facebook and Twitter and get all the latest updates and showtimes.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Sherman Tank, talking about professional wrestling, talking about OCW, and as I mentioned, OCW has a big event slated for this Saturday night, February 18th, 7 o'clock is when it starts. It's OCW Presents Love Hurts. It's at the OCW Arena, which is 2910 South Main Street in Akron, Ohio. The card is stacked. and you heard Tank talking about his big matchup with Louis Perez, if you need any information, all you simply have to do is go to ocwrestling.net. That is where you can find out about tickets, the event itself, all kinds of stuff. And if you don't remember that, just go over to the links tab on pvdcast.com and you can find a link right there. But before I get too far along here wrapping up this episode, I want to let you know that if you need to pick up comics, then you should stop on over to Comic Town. It's located at 1249 Morse Road in Columbus. The helpful staff will get you squared away with whatever you need. Whether you need comics, collectibles, gaming supplies, they've got it all. And it's also the spot where the world-renowned Black, White, and Red All Over is filmed. Hey, do you need any more motivation to stop by? Everything you need, all kinds of great comics, Ryan is in charge, and you get to see where they film Black, White, and Red All Over. Man, come on! It's a one-stop shop of awesomeness! Visit Comic Town over at worldofcomictown.com for all the details. And with that being said, I think it's about time for Orlando's Fave! This is the part of the podcast where I tell you about something that I think is cool, something I think you should check out, something that I think is noteworthy, and to be honest with you, I can't believe I haven't mentioned this already. I'm going to talk about a restaurant that I really like. It's over in Westerville. It's Antonio's Pizzeria. It's over there on Sunbury Road, 7001 Sunbury Road to be exact. Oh man, do they got great food, great pizza, great stromboli. Oh my goodness. And I was there Friday and I was sitting in the restaurant going, man, I haven't mentioned this on the PVD cast. It's a really, really awesome little restaurant. It's nothing fancy, but definitely worth checking out if you want to get your hands on some great Italian food. Antonio's Pizzeria. I believe it's antonios-pizzeria.com is their website. Definitely, you're in Westerville. You need to stop on out. It's way out there by Hoover Dam, but it's worth the drive. Trust me on that. All right, with that being said, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can hit me up on Twitter, @pvdmvp. Don't forget that the PVDcast is also on Facebook. It's facebook.com/pvdcast. Like the page, if you will. Tell some friends about it. I would greatly appreciate it. And don't forget, you can get this podcast through 5 different means. First, you can go to pvdcast.com. You can also catch it through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, and of course SoundCloud. So pick whichever way would be easiest for you. But of course, rate, describe, a review if you get an opportunity to, please. It would help me out tremendously. So, with that being said, I'm going to close up shop, so I will chat at each and every one of you later! Thanks for listening, folks!